whatever. It's because you're lacking something.
Well, usually I'm always lacking sugar, beer. Podcast. Just want to thank you guys for tuning in. Whatever you're listening on, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, you know, whatever is appropriate. Make sure you like, subscribe, follow, do whatever. Today we got myself, Tyson Markwert, we got Dylan Markwert, my brother, and we got a very special guest, Doug Kostrava.
Kostrava, whatever. It's all good.
Same thing.
Everybody knows me.
Horny Buckseed.
There you go.
Doug, now we met. What was that? Probably June?
Yeah, maybe a little before. About that time.
You know, I just kind of reached out on a whim.
How did that all come? You never told me how this all came about.
So,
because you like messaged me on Facecrack, I think it was.
I called you right away.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Because I asked my mom, because she said you guys went to school together.
Yes.
I was just kind of looking through Facebook and Horny Buckseed popped up. And I just happened to, like, click on it and look through all the products and everything. And I was like, you got some good stuff, you know? Like, some stuff I want to try out. So, I remember my mom talking about Horny Buckseed, whatever. And I seen the shirts everywhere. And I just asked her. I was like, do you know, like, who this is? She goes, yeah, I went to school with him. She's like, you want his number? I guess she had your number somehow. You know, either from a friend or whatever.
Well, my cell phone is our lifeline.
Yeah.
So it's actually not that hard to find me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So she gave me it, and I just happened to call you. I left you a message, and you didn't call me. You sent me a text back right away.
Okay.
And it was like, no, just a great text that I got from you. And I was like, this guy sounds awesome.
Well.
You know?
Man, you don't know nothing, do you?
So then we just kind of went from there, and, you know, we've been staying in touch. And
oh, sure.
But
I mean, I love helping people that have a passion.
Yeah.
You know, so, and obviously with you two, you know, and then obviously then we ended up meeting you and then coming out to your place and looking at your race cars and doing all of that stuff. And then we toured the property and stuff. You know, I mean, I do a lot of that every year. Mm-hmm. More so than probably ever and all lately.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, I'm kind of private. My life's kind of private, but yet it's not, if that makes sense. My life, you know, through the business, I always felt if I could help somebody in one way or another, it's no different than like our farming videos. You know, we do stuff like, you know, butchering chickens or butchering a cow or whatever, you know, a lot of guys, and I get some feedback where people like on social will like, oh, that's kind of gross. And I'm like, listen, I'm only doing this to try to help people to understand this is how it happens.
Yep.
All right?
Yeah.
You know, this is the reality of life. And if we were at a kill floor somewhere, it would be 100 times worse, right? So, you know, this is about as humane as it's going to get, all right?
Yeah.
Okay? You know, like our animals, you know, they don't know that they're getting butchered.
Yeah.
You know, they're in a barn thinking, I'm just going to get in and eat, you know?
How many chickens did you butcher?
Well, we ended up, about 90-some total.
Really?
It's been, you know.
You're done.
Well, I see
we're
you
done. Well, I'm laughing. I got to share this with you. It's kind of a funny story. So, I tell you, I got like, when you get older, you can't remember anything, right? So, I could hide my own Easter eggs, and this is no lie. So, my cousin's got a hold of me, you know, before the fish boil. We had our fish boil. He says, when you're butchering your last batch, let us know. We got 4 chickens we want butchered, you know. And, you know, and you got everything out in the plucker, blah, blah, blah. Would you come, you know, could butcher them? Yeah, absolutely. So Saturday, you know, we killed the last 30 that we had, you know, and I totally forgot about their chickens. Totally forgot about the chickens.
Really?
So got everything done, got everything cleaned up. And all of a sudden my cousin calls me on Monday and he said, hey, when are you going to finish butchering your chickens? And I'm like, oh, we finished on Saturday. Oh. Yeah, I had them 4, and I'm like, oh, man, I forgot your 4 chickens. So I'm sitting here, and I'm like, they're such great cousins, and they're just awesome. So I thought, I'm butchering their chickens. I promised them I'd butcher their chickens. So I went over there today with bags and brought their chickens back here, and I butchered 4 chickens today. You know, because, I mean, you know, it's natural for me. It's no big deal. You know, I got everything here. It took me, you know. I think it was like 45 minutes, and I had them all done and, and bagged and everything. I mean, you know.
Well, I'm sure the whole family was helping you.
I was myself today.
Oh, really?
I just did it by myself. Everybody was gone, you know, working and school and stuff. But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't, it doesn't bother me. You know, when you live on a farm, and that's kind of like getting back to the business end of it, you know, I tell everybody I'm a farmer, and I sell seed, and I help people grow deer. Farming deer is no different than farming cattle or chickens or pigs or whatever.
Right.
You're raising animals. You just don't have your control of them.
As much.
Right. As much, right, in a while, right?
Yep.
But you're still, deer need supplements. They need things to grow. Mm-hmm. And they can get things in the wild, but they don't get everything they need in a while because our soil up here is terrible.
Yeah.
It just is. We don't have soil like Iowa. We don't have soil. Even like on the western part of the state, mm-hmm. you know, the dirt there is, I mean, like Joel, I help him, you know, with his outfitter business. And, you know, he grows food plots that, I mean, they belong in a magazine.
Oh.
And 90% of the time, he didn't even have fertilizer. I mean, it's just, like in here, you're begging for rain and you've got to get your fertilizer. I mean, you got to do everything just right,
yeah.
you know, to hopefully get a decent crop. And there, you know, it don't matter. It depends on where you're at. Like, whether Iowa or you're in Illinois or Missouri or Ohio or wherever, you know, you got different grounds or you got better ground. You can grow better crops.
Right.
And it's no different, you know, than here. I mean, now you got to spoon feed everything.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if you're trying to grow deer on your property, you have to do it right.
Right.
You know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So do you think it's more like along the Mississippi there? Like the minerals in the soil?
Oh, I think there's a lot to it. I think you're very much so. I think you get certain areas with certain veins. Because here's the deal. So and I try to explain this. When you're trying to grow a crop for your deer, the healthier your crop is, the less your deer are going to eat. Because it's got more nutritional value to them.
Okay.
Okay? So you find out that if you're going to grow something on your property, you want to definitely make sure that your soil is where it needs to be.
Okay.
The pH is where it needs to be. You got it fertilized where it needs to be. The problem is we're in a sandier type of soil. So yeah. on rule of thumb, you, like the other day we were talking about the rains that came, right?
Yep.
You get an inch of rain. Inch of rain is going to push your fertilization table down at least 8 inches. All right, well, your root structure isn't going to touch it.
Yeah.
Because it went past it.
Right.
So now you're back to refertilizing again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, and it's the circle. Nature of the beast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which makes sense.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you got to work around. Now, I got customers that, you know, even locally are growing deer that I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed, but they're doing it right, you know.
When you're consistent, you know.
Right.
That's like the main factor.
I think that is the main factor.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell everybody, no different than any job or anything you're doing, you get out of it what you put into it. You know, I always tell everybody, food plotting is farming, and farming sucks. You know, especially this year. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a horrible year this year.
Look at the cornfield.
Oh, I mean, everything is prices. I mean, everything. It's a mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess. I mean, I got so many guys that are coming, you know, stopping and picking up minerals, stopping picking up feed, whatever. And right now, we're talking, and they're just telling me, man, we can't wait to get in a blind. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to get in a stand. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to get out in the woods. They're like, man, this world is such a mess. I need my sanctity. Yeah. I need to get back out and just to keep my sanity where I need it to be. Right?
Yeah. Right? I'm the same way right now, too.
And that's where I find my peace.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, you know what? You throw me in a blind or in a stand somewhere, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I don't mind watching squirrels, and I don't love, you know, I don't care.
Right.
It's wildlife.
Yeah.
Birds. And I mean, I don't think I've ever had a bad hunt. You know what? If you really think about it, and I mean, no, I've been out hunting. I didn't even see a deer, you know, but it still was a good hunt. I got to see something. Yeah. Right. Right. I mean, there's some that are obviously more memorable than others, but you can find glory in anything if you just let it look for it.
Yep.
And you don't even have to look hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, you know, if you can go and you don't hear a vehicle, you know how peaceful that is?
That's nice.
Like I was telling you guys about, like, you go in Canada and you hunt, you know, you're up there somewhere in the middle of nowhere, it's like deafening.
Yeah.
Because you don't, like, you're like nothing.
I actually, when I was out in North Dakota pheasant hunting 2 years ago, I was out there, and I had a instance like that, too. We were out there, and I guess the four guys and their dogs were pushing birds, and I was just sitting on posts or whatever, and all of a sudden, it just, like, went completely silent. I was, like, it was actually, like, deafening. Like, almost your ears, like, start ringing.
Isn't it
so quiet? I was, like, this is weird. And I, like, it's just weird, like, actually noticing it. It's, like, whoa.
You know, there's
and
so
you
many...
don't get that, like, around here, really. You
know? No, because there's always noises.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just always noises, you know? I mean, and I haven't now, and here's another thing, too. Like, we were talking about, I was talking with a lot of customers here in Alaska. We were talking about gun hunting, mm-hmm. like rifle hunt season.
Yep.
Rifle season, when I grew up, was very prominent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was very, I mean, everybody rifle hunt. Well, probably nobody archery hunted.
Yeah, it was
there wasn't a lot of archery hunting. Yeah. I think now it kind of, with the, you know, with the crossbows coming out now, you know, and the technologies, I think a lot of people have flip-flopped.
Right.
I think a lot of people now are more archery hunters.
Yeah.
I think there is. I feel there is. I feel like there's a lot more archery hunters than ever.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, and then you throw youth season in there, which that's the only thing, if there's anything, that I'm for it and I hate it.
You?
I'm for it and I hate it. I maybe it's just because I grew up old school.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up where the weather sucks and you're going to sit with me and you're going to like it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is what hunting is all about. Yeah. And nowadays, I mean, it's cushy. You know, the first major weekend of October, weather's pretty nice.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, that turning point. You know.
And you can shoot whatever you want, you know. And, you know, and I mean, and to me, it's not fair. This is just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair to all the archery hunters out there. I don't believe it is. Because when you start, them deer aren't dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And when they hear boom, boom, they go deep somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
All right? And then you take some stinky kid, you throw him in a bind, and he's eating Cheetos and Twinkies. Guess what? Kid, I always said, I was laughing one time. Mark Drury and I were sitting, we were eating dinner, and I'll never forget this. We were sitting, we were talking about youth season, and I said, you know one thing about kids? Every time you take them out, they all stink. Every one of
That's
them.
True.
And he just started laughing because we feed them to keep them quiet, every ounce of garbage you can think of.
Right, yeah.
You know, from Snickers bars to soda cans to Cheetos to Doritos to whatever.
Yeah.
Just to keep them there.
Yeah.
So they can share the experience, you know. But all of that atmosphere, now, and we were just talking about scent-free, right? Okay.
Yeah.
We're trying, we got to keep our clothes, you know, clean, and we got to make sure we get out in the woods, and we're, and yet you drag a 10-year-old kid with his backpack full of garbage food,
mm-hmm.
throw him in a blind, and guess what?
Yep.
Stunk up the whole 40.
Yep.
And you wonder where these deer go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why, you know, I'm not, it's just not fair. It, you know, the kid itself, I understand what we're trying to do,
mm-hmm.
but I still think we're going about it wrong. And that's just my opinion. I know I get some parents that get really fired up when I say that, but
yeah.
I'm just like,
which, yeah, it totally
we never had a
youth
season when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Didn't exist.
Well,
not existent.
The thing now, too, is like, you know, the first impression is like the biggest thing. So if a kid can go out there and they got, you know, a great time of season to go out, they can eat snacks, like all of a sudden,
uh-huh.
and they shoot a booner,
yeah.
they're hooked for uh-huh. life, you know? And then otherwise, if you go out, like, you know, I mean, we didn't really get that, like what you had, you know, going out in the harsh elements, because we had youth season, I think.
I think so.
But,
yeah. When did that, I don't even know when that started, now that you say that.
Well, then it's
gotta
like
be at least
thinking that, like,
12.
You go out, and you're going out in, you know, -10, whatever, and it's your first time going out, you're like, well, this sucks.
I'm never
doing this again.
And it did, but you know what? It was a whole different camaraderie back then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had, not even want to say a hunting camp, but as a family, we lived off the deer. Okay. Mm-hmm. So everything we shot, that we harvested, we cleaned, and, you know, which we were talking about earlier,
yep.
we took care of everything, yep. right? And it was just a whole different world back mm-hmm. then. You know, now, you know, some of these kids, you know, they're vicariously living through their parents.
Yeah.
You know, and they're killing deer that, no disrespect, they didn't earn them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I think I shared with you is that, you know, that customer of ours from Iowa who grandkids killed, you know, one killed a 200, so maybe eight years old.
Yep.
Yeah. Shoots a 217 inch deer.
Yeah.
With a drop time.
Where do you go from there?
Well, yeah. What's left?
He's always going to be searching or like passing up. Because like our first deer, like I shot a little 4 or 6 pointer.
Yeah. And like, you were happy as a clam.
He's never going to shoot one of those. Yeah.
No.
He'll see that one and say, "Oh, that one's not big enough."
I mean, when we were kids, you know, when we got into hunting, man, if it had 3-inch spikes, man, you were slamming it.
Oh yeah.
Because that was legal.
Yeah.
Didn't care. You know,
I'm still shaking like a leaf.
Yeah. And nowadays, you know, and I mean, but it's kind of like what we're also saying, though, Tyson, you're talking about, you know, why are deer getting a little bit bigger, mm-hmm. you know, and we're getting even locally.
Yeah.
You know,
it's getting better.
Yeah. It is getting better. And I think a lot of the neighbors are, you know, getting together and they're trying,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're going to always have your couple. I pay the taxes. I'm killing what I want to kill. You've got every right to do that.
Yep.
I'm not here to argue with you. Mm-hmm. I don't. I tell my neighbor, you kill what makes you happy.
Yeah.
No different than my family.
Yeah.
I don't. Yep. You know, they're like, would you be mad if we shot a year and a half? I'm like, no. I don't care what you kill.
You do what you want.
I don't care what you kill. Yeah. I don't own the deer.
Yep.
You know, and I think if the public would understand a little bit more and understand what goes into it and what you could reap from it
mm-hmm.
if you do let some deer go.
Yeah.
I think they would have a whole different thing. But their mindset is, if I don't kill it, the neighbor will.
Yep.
And, well, first of all, the neighbors got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have to hit it.
Yep.
Okay. And that don't always happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does it happen? Sure. Doesn't always happen. So... Yeah. You know, you almost gotta, in the world we live today, especially locally, you gotta have a kind of a different mindset. Yeah. You know, don't overhunt your property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to have a safe haven for your deer to live, right?
Yeah.
You know, keep deer on your property. I mean, are they gonna still wander off? Yeah. You know, and I always tell everybody, you know, what gets a big buck killed is dicker's gut.
Yep.
And it's the truth.
Sense. Yeah.
You know, and because, I mean, people don't drive deer like they used to. Remember, when I was younger, deer drives. You know, you'd be going and you'd see deer drives all over.
Yeah, definitely. Not as much.
Well, I mean,
yeah, like we hear this.
By us.
Yeah, I mean, we try and do it a little bit, but yeah, that's just out of tradition, out of fun of it, you know. But
right.
My dad tells us stories about deer driving back in the day, and that's like pretty much all they did, it sounded like.
Right, yeah.
So everywhere around the area.
You know, you know, like you got that King Buck replica downstairs, and Johnny was telling the story about he shot on a drive.
Yeah.
That buck was killed on a drive. And he normally was the driver, and he ended up being the poster.
Oh, really?
And actually, that buck came back into the post. He shot it on the way back into
awesome.
Yeah, it's really a cool story, you know. But I mean, you know, everybody's got their different traditions, and they're going to, like, you know, But we live in a world where hunters hate each other. It's pretty bad. You got guys that are like, "Well, I shoot a straight bow, and why you crossbow hunters? You all suck."
Mm-hmm.
And in the crossbow hunters, well, you know, just because, you know, don't hate me because I can't pull a bow back anymore. Well, you still could if you really want. You know, here comes the debate.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? Listen, if it's legal and you want to do it, knock yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you want to use a stick. If it's legal, knock yourself out.
Right.
I mean, look at these guys that are spearing deer.
Yeah.
You know, they're my heroes. I'm like, why do you want to do that? I don't know.
I don't care.
If it's legal, knock yourself out.
Right.
I don't care. I mean, or you get guys with compound bows and you got guys with long bows. Or recurves, or, you know, I want to go back to your traditional. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care if you use a wrist rocket. Right. If it's legal, knock yourself out. It just doesn't mean I have to want to do it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have to accept it because I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and that's the world we live in now.
Yeah. Well, everyone's situation is different.
Right.
Everyone likes their own thing. So,
right.
Especially
right.
now, everything's so kind of divided. It's like...
Well, everything's divided.
Yeah. You don't got much say in anything anymore.
No.
I mean, you do, but it's like... You can only care so much about it, really.
Well, and it's kind of like we talked about. It all starts with these stupid things.
Yeah,
right. They're a great tool, and they can do so much good. Mm-hmm. But they can make people get really big heads really quick.
Oh yeah.
You know, or you know, and you know, like they can sit there behind a screen, and you know,
it's easy to hide behind.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Right, and you know, yeah. And the thing of it is, and that's a problem. We degrade so many people for so many different things. Mm-hmm. You know, like, why are you doing this? Or, like, you know, I get into this too, you know, like food potting and baiting. I'm like, you know, food potting is more for growing deer. Mm-hmm. It really isn't an attractant, yes. But it's not an attractant like a corn pile.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right? It's not, you know. So you're back to farming and you're back to growing deer. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to do it. That's why you food pot.
Yeah.
You know, you put them out and they're like, well, that's just like baiting. Really?
Eh.
I don't think so. But think so. If that's your interpretation, knock yourself out.
Yeah, think what you want.
I mean, I could go take a food plot and have a gorgeous food plot, and I could go take a 5-gallon bucket of our feed and go dump it in the middle of that food plot, and guess where they're gonna all go eat?
Mm-hmm.
At that pile.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because that's what deer do.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's the way it is,
yeah.
You know, and, but, you know, so it's not apples to apples, yeah. In my opinion,
yeah.
But, you know, is baiting necessarily bad? I mean, is it bad for deer? No. Does it make them nocturnal? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, deer's rumens are made, they're made to eat every 4 to 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That is what they're made to do.
Yep.
Every 4 to 6 hours. Well, it's really simple. If you don't feed them, they're not going to eat. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you gotta, if you're gonna put it out, just give them their feed and let them come and eat. When they want to eat, let them come and eat. Back to people that are, you know, they want to sit there and they want to bait and they want to feed deer, you know, they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not necessarily against it. I don't, if that's what you have, you know, other than, you know, is it legal? No. People are going to do it.
Yeah.
I laugh at this all the time. Mm-hmm. Because you can't help but laugh at how stupid this is. So, you know, baiting's illegal in the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to every gas station and there's 50-pound bags of corn for sale everywhere.
Corn or apples.
Or carrots. Or sugar beets. Or mineral blocks. Or salt blocks. Or whatever.
Yep.
You know, oh, it's all squirrel food.
Mm-hmm.
We should have squirrel Booner squirrels everywhere in Wisconsin, right?
There's a lot of squirrels though.
Well, but you know what I mean. I'm like,
some fat,
you know,
raccoons.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah. But I mean, it's just all part of, you know, people. I don't think realize that. I'm not against it. It's just that it's a legality thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I mean, I can tell. And I mean, I'm just going to go off of what customers tell me.
Yeah.
So customers come in and they'll be telling me right out. They're like, oh yeah, our deer change their pattern. You know, and they're like, and here, this is actually kind of cool, funny story.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, our deer change their pattern. And I said, oh really? I says, neighbors baiting? You know, I'm going to tell you a story. The guy tells me, he said, I had a friend of mine come over with his drone and he flew my neighbor's property. How am I going to compete with 9 bait piles? He said, and he's got 9 5-gallon buckets of corn on his 40 acres.
Really?
He's like, all my deer are gone. And he's a food plotter, right?
Yeah.
I says, I get it.
How do
I tell him to fix it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm bait banker?
Yeah.
You know, and he goes, I'm not baiting. I'm not paying a fine.
Yeah.
And he goes, and I'm not turning them in. I said, well, good for you. I respect that, and mm-hmm. God bless you.
Yeah.
You will get rewarded. I tell him that. You'll get rewarded. Don't mm-hmm. don't get, you know.
Good karma.
It'll come,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he was, you know, he came, and I was laughing because he came, he bought 2 bags of feed. And I said, you know, listen, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I got to compete. All my deer are gone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and that's tough.
That's hard,
you know,
to compete against. Yeah.
And right. And like I said, in Wisconsin, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and the only thing it's really good for is the deer.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for the deer. Yeah. I mean, you're feeding them. You're getting them through winter.
Yeah.
So I mean, it doesn't matter. That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll, but you know, in the DNR, I get there. Well, I want to get into that.
Well, let's transition into horny buck seed. Let's hear the story. How did it get started? Where did you start? When did you start?
Oh,
you
boy!
Know, kinda,
what turned you from farmer to deer farmer?
Well, there's you want the long version?
So here's
a kind of the funny story. We Allison and I was working for a company out of Fond du Lac, believe it or not, and we were a vendor rep company at Flea Farms.
Okay.
So I was a manager for the company for a division, and I took care of 7 fleets.
Okay.
We had, and I every day I went to a different fleet, and we basically took care of the companies that we represented. We would stock their shelves and put a POP, and we babysit all their products in the stores. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I had 7 stores, and I had maybe 13, 14 employees helping me pretty much, and she was one of them.
Yeah,
and Allison was one of them. And she'd work part-time, but we had 2 kids. We had Emily and Tyler,
mm-hmm.
both in diapers at the time. And it worked out honestly nice because Allison could watch our own kids one day. And then the babysitter that we had babysitting them, she worked for me a couple days a week.
Oh,
so it worked. It was just, I mean, it was like the one of the best jobs I think we've ever had in our life. Because you were always going into a store. You were always making the store happy because we were doing their work.
Yep.
And we were making the vendors happy that we were, you know, taking care of their products, and we were getting it out on the shelf, and we were selling their products. So it was, everybody was a win-win,
yep.
You know? Well, then third generation mills took over and they wanted our percentage.
Okay.
So they started eliminating vendor reps in the store. So we lost our jobs.
Oh.
So I think I had to lay her off on a Tuesday, and then I got laid off on a Wednesday. So now we have 2 kids in diapers, and we had the farm, but it wasn't like a big farm at the time, and we just a little bit just so we could eat, kind of one of those deals, because I was working a lot, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I don't even know if we even talked about moving, but we thought, well, we got to find work because we got children, mm-hmm. right? So what we ended up doing was one day, you know, her and I were talking, and we had some friends over. And I kind of got into doing food plotting when I had my landscaping business. So when I started doing when I was doing landscaping, I took care of a lot of customers, like north of here, that lived around the lakes. And they had cabins and stuff, and they wanted to watch deer in their backyard.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, you can plant stuff for them. Really? You know? So I started planting different clovers and different things that they could mow and maintain, but yet they didn't have to mow their lawn all the time, and they could watch deer out their backyards, and they loved it.
Huh.
So I started with that food plotting end of it. And then we ended up, like I said, we lost our jobs, and then we ended up, so I had that background with the farming and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was helping a couple friends of ours were deer farmers, so I was helping them a little bit. I told her I think I want to go back into, you know, back into business again. I said, I think I'm going to start a seed company. And I had a couple of our buddies were over at the time, and they're like, Allison, like, what are you going to call it? And I'm like, well, at the end of our road is Whiskey Creek.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, we'll just call it Whiskey Creek Seeds, you know? And then her right away, are you an idiot? You're not calling it that. You got to come up with something more original. That's stupid. Just call it Horny Buck. Now, there's a flip side to this. So when we used to hunt, every deer with horns or antlers was a horny buck. Okay. So there's a little ploy back into that. So
okay.
Any deer that would come out and there's like, oh, there's a horny, you know. So
Huh.
She said, why don't you call it Horny Buck? And I'm like, I am not calling it Horny Buckseed. Because people are going to take it the wrong way.
Yeah, right.
Right away. Right away. They're going to take it the wrong way.
Uh-huh.
So this is before the days of cell phones, pretty much. I still had a BlackBerry, I think, at the time. So this is like way before, right?
Yeah.
Like you had them, but they weren't like technology.
Yeah.
So I got up in the morning because I never slept anyway. So I was up at 3 in the morning and I went on my computer like I always do. And I started Googling, looking up cartoon characters in the outdoor industry.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any.
Huh.
There was none. I mean, the only thing that I've seen that was like kind of cool, if there was anything, was honestly Bone Collector had, you know, their antler. Their skull with antlers, right?
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. So that same morning, I called my brother. My brother does graphic arts, and he does a lot of that, you know, video stuff and things. And I said, are you in the office today? He goes, yeah. I said, can I come over and visit you? He goes, yeah, sure. Just come on over. What's up? I said, I'll explain to you when I get to you. I said, okay. So I drove over by him, and he said, what's going on? I said, I'm going back into business. And he said, really? What are you going to do? I said, I'm opening up a seed company. Well, for what? I said, for food plots. Oh, that's right up your alley. He said, I could see you doing that.
Huh.
He said, what are you going to call it? And I said, Horny Buck Seed. And he started looking at me and he goes, are you serious? I said, well, now hear me out.
That's not what you think.
I said, yes, but I want you to understand something. I want you to draw me Horny the Buck.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up during Bugs Bunny, Warner Brothers, right?
Yep.
So Foghorn, Leghorn, whatever. So I wanted him to draw me Horny the Buck. So Horny the Buck is our mascot. So Horny Buck, right? So after about 14 prototypes, the 14-pointer was invented. So Horny the Buck was made, and then we had a trademark it. And that took another 6 months or so. Oh,
okay.
And then it just kind of, we started out slow, you know, and a lot of bumps in the road.
Yeah.
But I got to meet, we've been blessed to meet the people we've met through this adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Call it an adventure. We've got to do some really cool things. Even to the point of, you know, Tyler being up for the comedian Golden Moose Award.
Really?
Yeah, for his crapping episode. Yeah, and that was actually, you didn't see that one yet.
No.
Oh, I got to show you.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. He made it to the finals, so we got invited to Vegas.
Really?
So Allison and I had to go to Vegas. Yeah, we had to get dressed up formally for the awards. Because he wasn't old enough and he was in school, so he couldn't come because he was only 7 or 8, maybe. But yeah, Tyler has a nervous disorder.
Okay.
So I got to have him find it for you, the clip. It's actually, you will laugh.
Yeah, I've never heard of
it. Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
Really?
It is a good one.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and it made the whole show. It's actually, the whole show is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but yeah, he had irritable bowel out of the stand, and he had a poop, like, now, and it's all on film.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep. And it's, you know, to this day, it kind of, it is what it is. But, so with that being said, you know, emphasis on his nickname, Tank.
Oh.
Because he was always a big boy.
Yeah.
You know, so we just nicknamed because he was big as a tank. You know, so we nicknamed him Tank. And then Allison, you know, is really good at naming Horny Buck and everything else. So
right.
We had to have a blend because we made up a new blend. And we had to change the name,
mm-hmm.
or put a name on it. So she called it, she would call Tyler Tankalicious.
Tankalicious.
So,
I like it.
So his blend is Tankalicious.
Huh.
And that's our number one seller today.
Yeah.
Still is. Really? Yeah. So it was our number one seller. So there's kind of a lot of, like I said, we've been down, well, like I said, we got to meet so many different people and help so many different people along the way. And we're still, ironically, friends with lots of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they still call or, you know, talk, or, you know, ex-Packers like Jeff Janis, he'll still chat once in a while, or, you know, text or whatever. You know, you get to know people, and then once, See, the thing of it is with hunting, you know, we got what we call an extended family. Mm-hmm. It's an extended family. I mean, if you're a deer hunter, you're a family. It doesn't matter. And like I said, I don't care what you hunt with. Mm-hmm. I don't care where you hunt. I don't care how you hunt. As long as it's legal, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you kill. If it makes you happy, kill it. But we're all part of a family because we all have that passion.
Yeah.
The problem is the family, no different than any family, you're going to have friction. Mm-hmm. And that's what's kind of ruining it for a lot of people, you know. And, you know, be proud of what you do and be proud of what you got and be happy for what you got. Mm-hmm. And because some people don't have these fortunate things, right? Mm-hmm. Right. That's how I look at it. So, but that's basically how the business realistically got up and running,
yeah,
so to speak. And it's been a great adventure. It's been a great adventure.
It seems like it. I mean, the stories that you tell and like all the people that you met.
Oh, it's like just
Juries and Nugent. And,
yeah. I mean, it's amazing what you.
That's crazy.
Who you find and what you find, and you know, the people are just. Most of the people are just salt of the earth people. Mm-hmm. They really are. They really, really are. And you're going to always run into your few. I hate to say it, a lot of your pro athletes are the worst.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Okay.
And I think it's just because I wouldn't want to be them. I would want to have my privacy. I love our privacy. Mm-hmm. I love our privacy. We live in the middle of nowhere and everybody's like, you know, you don't call me or you don't do anything. I'm like, if you knew how busy my life is, sometimes I don't, like, she had to come find me tonight, you know? Yeah. That's our normal life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our normal life. I mean, you know, when it's seed season, I mean, on an average day in July into August, I'll take anywhere from 40 to 60 phone calls a day.
Wow.
And 90% of them is doing one thing, answering questions and helping them.
Yeah.
And it's usually not a 3-minute phone call.
Yeah, right.
It's, okay, you need to do this and this and this. And, you know, because we're only as good as you do it right, right? And I think that's one thing that we discussed when we were out at your place.
Yeah.
You're going to be only as good as you do it right. And you can do things half-ass, mm-hmm. but you're going to expect a half-ass product.
Right, yep, exactly.
So, you know, and in farming, you can do everything right and still fail. Mm-hmm. And it can happen.
Yeah,
you know back to the phones. There is nothing more rewarding to me, and I'll guarantee you it's going to start this weekend.
Oh yeah,
it'll start.
Yeah,
I'll have guys texting me pictures or snapping me. Now snapping, I'm still trying to figure out how to do that. So you know you're old, right? Right. I'm still trying to figure out how to put your phone on it and do you know. Or I hate when people snap me pictures of their food plot and ask me a question. Okay. So if anybody's listening to this, don't do that. Text me, please, because they'll snap it to me, and I'll look at it, and I'll be like, what was that? And all of a sudden, it's gone.
Gone forever.
What the fuck? You know, and I tell people, text it. Just text it, because back to hiding my own Easter eggs, I can't remember what the fuck you just sent me,
right.
Let alone I got to watch it on the video 3 or 4 times, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I tell people, you know, if you know, I love videos and I love pictures, don't snap them to me, you know, but text them is fine. That's good. But like this weekend will be the opening of hunting season for many places.
Yep.
And people will be sending pictures of their kids sleeping next to them in the blind.
Yep.
You know, right. Or it'll be, you know, look at the one I got, look at the one I passed, or look at the one I shot, mm-hmm. or to look at the one that the neighbor shot that I've been growing for the last 4 years.
Yep.
You know, I'll get lots of those.
Yeah.
You know, and she knows. We'll be sitting and she'll be like, you know, and I put my thing just on vibrate because, and she'll be like, now who's texting you? Like, and also, because we usually sit together opening night. It's just kind of like a traditional thing.
Yeah. That's kind of what you were saying before.
Yeah. Right? And it's just, you know, we get together and it's where we can have our time. So some of our best dates are in a deer stand.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. And I mean, we have fun, and we laugh, and we giggle, and I love it.
Yeah.
And it, you know, and you find out in hunting, it's in how many, well, other than that, their one, that's her first buck. That's actually kind of, That was was it a 17 minutes?
18 minutes.
Oh, really? I was wrong. I was off by a minute.
Wow.
Yeah. We sat in a blind 18 minutes and she was done. Pretty good.
And we were taking selfies just before.
Yep.
Around and laughing and.
Yeah, it was great. It was so funny. That's great, it was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all of a sudden I'm like, and it was, we were sitting in a blind, you know, in a Shadow Hunter on the ground, just sitting on the ground, in the middle of a woods, you know, and mm-hmm. it's like a swampy woods, and we're just sitting there, and all of a sudden I look, and that stupid buck walked 8 feet from her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, walked right by her. And then I went to move, because, you know, I have a little bit of a weight problem, and I went to move, and the chair went, dunk, and the buck stopped. And I'm like, oh, no, I just screwed up her hunt. Then all of a sudden, it took his antlers and started scratching its back, and I'm like, she's going to kill this thing. I knew right then and there, she's going to kill him.
Yeah.
He is going to die in a little bit.
No way.
She's going to kill him. Because when he, that didn't bother him, I'm like, she's going to kill him.
He's a goner.
She's good as dead. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, and as he's walking, I'm just putting the window down, because he's walking on a path, you know. Uh-huh. Put the window down, she put the bow up, and I'm like, put the 20 on him. Whack.
Take him.
Yep, and then it didn't, and it took off, and then you didn't see it, right?
Was that opening day?
Opening, yeah, first 17 minutes of opening night. First 17 wow. minutes, done.
That's awesome.
And we got out, and it was funny because the deer ran, and we seen the Luminox sticking in a cedar tree.
Oh.
Went right through it, blew right through it.
Really?
And I was like, she goes, did you hit him? I'm like, oh, you, oh, yeah, you 12 hole, are you right? I mean, you couldn't hit it any better. Really? I'm like, did I kill him? I'm like, gonna be dead. Gonna be dead. Okay.
That's awesome.
So we got out of the blind and we walked over there to it. And I'm like, well, let's go look for blood. You know, gotta, you know, do the right thing. You know. Mm-hmm. And we looked, and there's a little bit of a couple specks of blood, and there's a little bit more blood. Then all of a sudden, I'm like, you stay right here, and I'm just gonna go. I didn't go. That deer did not go from this table to that wall.
Really?
It was laying there dead. And all of a sudden, I went to her, and I'm like, this. And she goes, you got blood? I go, come here, look at your deer. And she just lost it. And she just, that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And that's awesome.
Yeah, I still got the crying selfies on my phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's mm-hmm. cool. Nice.
That's awesome.
And that's what hunting's all about.
Right. Yeah.
You know, exactly. that's what it's all about. Yeah. You know, and you know, and to her, it's a trophy. Every deer is a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, but we had a little history watching a deer, you know, behind the mineral and, you know, watching it all summer, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like, well, I hope it makes it, or, you know, I hope I get a shot at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And well, all of a sudden, it shed its velvet, and, you know, and it was just kind of a cool memory for me, yeah. Probably more so, well, probably for her, but it was for me, too, you yeah. know. So when you can share that with somebody, and I don't care, you know, I don't know if you guys, you know, sit with anybody or whatever, but.
Well, sometimes, yeah.
You know, I mean, I always enjoy it. I mean, it kind of breaks up the day, too.
Yeah,
right, yeah,
you
exactly.
know?
Just to share the experience, like you said, it's a big thing.
Well, I think it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, back to Tyler, we went, this is the very first time in his pooping episode, we did not even see a buck to shoot.
Yeah.
And he ended up shooting a doe at about 150 yards with a slug gun.
Oh.
Okay. And I knew he hit it.
That's a good shot.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know how good it was luck.
Say 150 yards.
But he hit it a little far back.
Yeah.
And we had to go the next morning to look for her.
Oh, okay.
And that's all part of the show. And we found her, you know. And that's the picture that's on the back of the bag. Is a doe shot. Okay. Okay. But what was so cool about that whole experience was the next year we went back and hunted again. This was at South Fork in Illinois.
Okay.
And we went back and hunted again. And this is where we're going to get back down to the youth hunt. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Tyler and I are sitting in a blind overlooking a big racks plot that we had. We're sitting in a pop-up blind. And the owner says, there's two bucks coming out there every night on camera, religiously. He said, one's about 160, and one's about 170. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I've never shot a 160. You know,
that's a big deer.
But I'm like, you know, all right, whatever. So Tad told us, go sit there. He showed us where to hunt and whatever. So Tyler and I went and sat. And we're sitting in a blind, and like clockwork.
Really?
Here they came out. And I'm looking at them. I'm like, oh, my God, these are giants. And they're 60 yards.
Huh.
Until they put the gun up, the gun wouldn't fire.
Really? Why is that?
Found out that in them Savages, it was an A-bolt.
Okay.
No, it was a pump. It was a pump.
Oh.
Savage pump, I think it was. I was in a Mossberg. I don't remember what gun it was. I just know we looked it up and we found out that there's a spring in the trigger that's not that they're recalled, but there's a problem with them, mm-hmm. and that has to be rectified. You know, it's supposed to be gone through.
Right.
Okay. And we didn't know.
Huh.
And gun didn't go off. So yeah. We had to watch them deer.
Ooh,
couldn't shoot him. And he was just crying like a little girl.
Really?
Because he's sitting there, and all you can do is go bang,
yeah.
You know, and there's nothing, you know. But
well, sometimes that's a good part, though, is just being able to watch them.
Okay, so it goes right back to when we were talking before. Kid didn't earn it. You know, he didn't earn it. You know, he was like 8 years old, whatever, 9.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't earn a 170. He didn't earn a 150. You know, so you sit there sometimes, and you're like, that's where I get, like, a little bit aggravated,
mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody's parents or grandparents
yeah.
take their kid out who is 7.
And he's shooting.
And he shoots a booner his first deer.
Yeah. Right. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I think as parents or, and I'm not a grandparent, but I mean, old enough to be a grandparent, but I'm not a grandparent. But with that being said, you still got to know your limits and what you need to do with your children.
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, and that's why and we got this in the house. I don't care what you kill, which we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you kill. I'm not here to sit there. I used to be a little bit more, you know, let's let them go, let them go, let them go, let them go. And but you know what? Why? What for?
Mm-hmm.
What for? You know what? If it makes you happy, smoke it.
Yeah.
I don't even care.
What do you think changed that?
For me?
Yeah.
Selfishness.
Yeah.
I think we all are selfish, mm-hmm. right? We're all a little greedy. Yeah. We're all a little greedy, a little bit selfish. I think we all are. You know, like Allison always tells me, you are in constant competition with yourself.
Yep.
And I'm like, she's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because there'll be times that I'll send her pictures of deer. And she's like, and you didn't shoot that? And I'll be like, no. Are you nuts? I don't know. Didn't want to kill it.
Yeah.
And then the next time, you know, and I mean, that one's not back here from Texas. Like that 17 pointer I shot in Kansas.
I never seen that one.
No, that was what was the coolest part of that whole hunt was I was vicariously kind of living that whole hunt on social media with a lot of my friends and followers on there because everybody knew I was in Kansas hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knew that Kansas had, you know, really good deer, right? Yeah. I mean, they just do. But what ended up happening, I'll see if I can find a quick picture of it for you. What was kind of, to me, the coolest part of the whole thing. Oh, that was one, I think I posted it.
Oh, wow.
So, I'm sitting with my inline, and I'm hunting, and Miles Wilhite, we were hunting with him and Mickey, and Miles told me right out, he said, you know, You got some really good bucks there, he said. And I ended up with a picture of him, from the year before.
Okay.
And then he had a picture of him from that from this year. Okay. And he says, I don't know where that buck is. He says, I haven't seen him in a long time. But he says, Shorty's there, which is the buck that I killed last year.
Oh.
So he said, if you see Shorty, shoot Shorty, because he's 7.5. Cool. And he said, he's about 150, he's 160. He said, he's a good buck. Well, I seen Shorty.
Mm-hmm.
But I already seen his guy. But I didn't see his antlers.
Oh.
I seen his body, and I seen him at 400 yards. And all I could see, the trees were there hanging. That's all I could see was a deer coming to me.
Oh.
And I couldn't see his head, could not see his head. And then all of a sudden, he got to about 150 yards, and then I could see his head. And I'm like, I put the binoculars on him, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's points everywhere on that stupid thing. And I'm like, well, he's coming. Let's let him keep coming.
Mm-hmm.
So he got to 100 yards, and I smoked him, and I dumped him right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, dumped him right there. He was just went right down. Then I was sharing, you know, pictures with people on social, and then it got, then that post got really blew up.
Yeah.
You know.
That's.
And
that's,
then, it, you know, thing. So it was kind of like one of those, I think Miles called him Forky Fred. That's Forky Fred. He's 8.5 years old.
Really?
Yeah. And he says, this is the first year, because Miles shot his running mate, which used to bust him up every year. So that was the first year he wasn't broken.
Okay.
Because Miles killed his running mate.
Oh. Gotcha.
Nice. And he killed, and that was a big deer. That was a 180-inch deer.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you know what that one scored? Or no?
Then I didn't put a tape to him.
No.
That's
a nice deer.
You know, he was just a lot of points.
Yeah.
Just a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
You know, because he had all those what you call on him, like all the kickers and stuff.
Yeah.
But I know I was laughing because what was kind of to me was kind of funny. We were giggling because I told Miles that's what I killed, and then he's like, there's no way. I said, Miles, I know that's him. So I got out and I took a picture of his antlers just laying there. And he's like, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe it.
Really?
I said, yeah, well, I told you I wasn't lying to you.
So I didn't see him for a couple days before that? Or
that was the first picture I took of him.
Huh. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, my gosh, you did kill him. I said, I told you I ain't lying to you.
Right.
I said, I wouldn't lie to you about it, you know.
That's awesome.
You know, but, yeah, I walked up to him, I took a picture, and I sent it to him. He goes, I'll be doggone.
Really?
I said, yeah, killed him.
That's cool.
I killed him, you know. But, you know, like I said, you get, like I said, back to the business. We're blessed to meet. And Miles, okay, so I call Miles a dear friend.
Mm-hmm.
Met him off of a phone call.
Really?
He called me. He's living in Kansas, and he's like, I follow you on Facebook, and he said, I watch what you're about, and I watch what you guys are doing, and he said, I really am excited, because he says, I don't find people that are genuine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He said, everybody's out chasing the money, and I'm like, well, I ain't us. I'm just a dumb, poor farmer, so I don't even think about that, right? And we just, he bought some seed, and then we just became friends. You got to come out hunting. And then we used to have a golf outing every year, and he came all the way from Kansas to the golf outing.
Really?
Because he's a scratch golfer, you know?
Really?
And,
so
man,
all into it.
Yeah, and we just became, like, really good friends. And then when I shot that one, he ended up, you know, Emily went down with me.
Mm-hmm.
She drove down because she wanted to go with Dad on a hunting trip, and I took her with me, and we went down, and she just hit it off with them. And,
really?
And now they're family.
That's awesome.
And they started out with a phone call, don't know from Adam. And I think that's a lot of our people we have. That's how they were customers.
Hmm.
It all started with a phone call.
That's cool.
And some of them, we get invited to their weddings. It's just crazy.
That's cool.
It's just crazy. And yeah. I mean, and the sad thing, back to, you know, my memory, we meet so many people, and I am terrible at remembering everybody.
Yeah.
I struggle with that, and that bothers me.
Yeah.
Because I really know who they are, but I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know their name. I know who they are.
Well, yeah.
Right, 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 right.
It happens.
Oh, man, I was in downtown, I was right in the middle of Atlanta at the airport, And a guy comes with me. Oh, my God, Doug, what are you doing in Atlanta? I said, well, I'm catching a flight to go up to, you know, I was going up to a trade show up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And they're like, oh, man, I have no idea to this day who that guy was.
Really?
But he knew everything about me.
Really?
Knew all about the farm. And I'm just like, do you follow me? Oh, I follow you on Facebook. Oh, yeah, I got you. I follow you steady on Facebook.
Really?
Okay.
No idea.
No, I still don't know who he is. Huh. You know, I mean, it was still, he went out of his way to come and say hi.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I don't remember, I think he, and this quite a few years ago, I think he even messaged me. Thanks for taking the time. And I'm like, well, thanks for introducing yourself, you know, because I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
no idea.
So social media can be great.
Yeah.
You know, in that avenue, you know, it can be great, but parts of it are the devil. Yeah. it is what it is, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, you know? You can make so many connections on social media. It's like...
But are they genuine? You know, that's another thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah. But with hunting base, most people are pretty good, though. Most people. You know?
But then you read all the comments on other stuff, and it's what we talked about earlier. It's bad. Really bad.
Oh, I don't. You can't. You can't. I mean, I get people that ask me questions on them pages, and I can't even. I won't even answer.
Yeah.
I will private message them. I will private message you, but I'm not going to answer on there because you have 19 other geniuses who never did it, and the thing in their day in their life are going to tell you how you're doing it wrong.
Yep.
And I'll be like. So I tell everybody when I do stuff, I do my seminar. I'm not telling you you have to do it this way. This is how I do it, and it works for me.
Yep.
It might not work for you this way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Exactly.
But I've been doing it for this many years, and it's been working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk about, well, I guess, Tyler and Tankalicious.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what's your other, I mean, I kind of know, but to everyone else, like, what's your other most bestseller seeds that you got right now?
Well, here's the deal.
For Wisconsin.
You know, okay, so for pure tonnage, our dead zone pushes out a lot of tonnage.
Okay.
There's a lot of feed there. But now I think we talked in depth a little bit more about growing deer.
Mm-hmm.
So your big racks or your tagged out are both very, very good. Okay. Because the clover, alfalfa, and chicory come back the next year, right? So when do you want to start growing your deer in the spring, right? Mm-hmm. Right when they're coming off of winter, when things start greening up, you got to have them on something.
Right.
Because if you want to grow decent antlers and have good fawns, that's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those blends, you know, and then if you're, you know, for me, any of those are good. You know, clover is a great food source for the spring, summer, and into early fall, but now they're going to start switching over to carbs.
Yep.
But we're still a little warm yet for carbs yet. But they're eating corn.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see it at the deer in the corn quite a bit.
Yeah.
But it's just starting to really dent up good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the acorn crop is not near what it was last year, thank God.
Last year was nuts.
Yeah.
It wasn't right. Last year was just not right.
Yeah, I don't know what went on, but.
It was just kind of a crazy drought year, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just one of those situations, you know.
Yeah.
But I think as a whole, I mean, those are the main blends that, you know, most people purchase for the most part.
So what's your, I guess, I don't know how to explain it, but like what's your most distinguished between like a bow season and like a gun season? Because, you know, Wisconsin obviously is more prominent on gun season. So what's like your main blend for like the gun hunters?
For the gun hunters, usually between the tank, Checkmate's really good too. We do a lot of guys that have Checkmate because it got the winter rye in it.
Okay.
Okay, so that's really good for late season.
Okay.
Comes in really well. But I'm all about tonnage. So sugar beets and turnips in the dead zone are really money.
Mm-hmm.
But the tank, you got the radishes in there, you got the kale in there, you got the collards in there, you got the turnips in there. I mean, it is just an absolute smorgasbord. And what's nice about that, that doesn't necessarily have to freeze. So a lot of our customers that are down in like Missouri, Kansas, Illinois, where it doesn't get like in the 20s, right? it does really well.
Really?
Yeah, it does really, really well. Okay. So these are all kind of parts.
So
parts
it does better when it doesn't freeze?
Well, it doesn't need to freeze for them to eat it. Okay. So some of your brassicas do, though. You know, like...
Otherwise, they're bitter, right?
Bitter, yes. Okay. Yeah. So like your turnips and rape or canola, okay. A lot of times that needs to freeze, and then it'll turn to sugar.
Okay.
And then once it turns to sugar, then they'll love it. Yeah. Emphasis sweet frost, right?
Right.
It gets frost, it smells sweet, yeah. You know.
So what's... Is that what's in the sweet frost then? Just the turnips?
The turnips and the radish. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's kind of one of those, you know, and I get this a lot of times too. A lot of guys are like, oh, my deer won't eat turnips. They don't know what they are.
Yeah.
I had a guy, he was on the other side of the state, and he called me up, and he was pretty upset.
Okay.
Because he's like, I got all these turnips, and I ain't going to use his language, but it was pretty choice. And he's like, I got turnips out there that are like tennis balls, softballs everywhere, and they won't touch them. Huh. I said, they eat all the greens? He goes, oh yeah, there ain't a thing left on that plot other than all them freaking balls. I said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to take and go with your foot, roll a bunch of them out, take an axe, a machete or whatever, whack up some. What for? I said, the deer don't know what they are. And he's like, are you playing with me? I said, I'm just telling you. You got nothing to lose.
Right.
I said, just try it.
Yeah.
So I could tell he was reluctantly, I think he thought I was lying to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, all right, I'll do it, and I'll let you know. So he did. I think a couple days later, he goes, you ain't going to believe this. My doggone plot is getting murdered right now. They finally figured out what they are.
Really? Wow.
Because they didn't know what they were.
Yeah.
This was like maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Okay.
They did not know what a turnip was. No idea.
Wow.
They ate all the greens off, like the tops, but they didn't eat the ball.
Huh.
Now, he says, I mean, it's just like little craters. They just eat.
Oh, really?
When it freezes, they just eat everything they can.
Wow.
When it's frozen in the ground. It's kind of cool.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess they're... Really thought about
mine. Mine do the same thing. The deer do the same thing here. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is our first year planting turnips and radishes and stuff like that. So they know what it is.
They're eating the greens right now, aren't they?
I can see them eating it.
Yeah.
And I noticed just driving around there too, you can see all the bulbs up already. And they're not too big yet, but they're not really seeming to touch those.
No. And
the greens.
They'll if this long they're in there, that's all that matters. Because, I mean, I tell people, don't overthink it. Mm-hmm. You know, just don't overthink it. I mean, you know, you put it out there, and once they learn what it is, they'll take care of it themselves.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to teach them. You know, because some deer don't know.
Yeah.
They just don't know. And, like, you get further south, like in the southern states, they won't even touch them.
Oh, really?
They don't need to. Because down there, for whatever reason, oats, rye, grasses are big down south.
Okay.
You know,
you think it's more like the soil type down there?
I think so. I think it's the heat.
Just the heat.
I think it's temps. Well, and so, it's sandy. So
those probably stay bitter then.
I'm very much so.
Okay.
Very, very much so.
Makes sense, I guess.
Very, very much so. So, and the deer is smaller than up here. Everything is different.
Yeah.
Everything's different down south.
So we did text about, like, the lowland wet area seeds. I asked you a question about that. You got any?
It's hard to grow anything. It's hard to grow anything in wet soil.
Okay.
It just is. It's just because you're not going to get any vibrant, you know, plants out of it.
Yeah.
You know, for rule of thumb, you're just not going to.
Yeah, I just didn't know if anyone ever like made like a creek bed or, you know, just a low spot in the field like where it's super wet, just like throwing something in there and having it.
I mean,
I didn't even know what they'd. You know, like that would grow in something like that.
Well, you could grow different grasses, okay?
But,
okay, so let's just go through a protein level, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Average grass is below 10% protein, usually way below.
Yeah.
Usually like 6.
Okay.
5, okay? Back to
deer. Well, corn's at the same, isn't it?
Deer know what they eat, but there's carbs.
Yeah.
See, there's a difference.
Yeah.
There's a sugar in a plant, and there's a carb. Okay. So it's a whole different animal, okay? Where grass doesn't have much value. It's a roughage.
Mm-hmm.
Grass is a roughage.
Yeah.
and not that the deer don't like it, they'll eat it to an extent, but it's mostly roughage.
Okay.
So you got to kind of like think kind of outside the box a little bit on that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I was definitely just curious about that because I was like just looking at either some of the low spots in our field or, you know, people just asking or buddies that I know about have these low areas. I was like, I wonder if you could put like something in there.
No, you can grow. You can grow clover in them.
Yeah.
When they're dry, okay. You know, and then let the clover establish.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have some drowned out. Okay, a little bit, but you're going to still have something there, right?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Are you utilizing your time and effort and money?
Not really, because it's a big hit or miss.
Right, it's more of a miss than a hit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I have a customer who's out by towards the, like, the bay area.
Okay.
Very low ground. He went and he tiled his whole, all his food plots.
Really?
I'm like, you are my hero.
Dang.
I feel like that's expensive.
That's dedication.
Dedication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I tell you, talk about being bound and determined. And you know what? It worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, I mean, just think about all those deer that are in that area.
That's he's like, I always have water. He says, not anymore.
Really?
So, it's pretty amazing if you ask me.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about, I guess, you know, what are your plans for this year? Like Illinois, I know you talked about.
Hunting this year, yes. Yeah. I got Tyler, well, obviously opening weekend here in Wisconsin, so I'm going to go sit with my wife. And then Tyler will be coming up in 2 weeks. It'll be the youth hunt. That'll be the last year you can hunt youth season. So we're gonna run them down to Illinois.
Nice.
Hunt there. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to probably sneak over to Buffalo County and hunt with Joel a little bit. And he's going to show me Minnesota a little bit because I plan on gun hunting out there. He said he's got a couple real old relics that he wants gone. So, and I'm into big old eights.
Yeah.
Those are kind of my,
those
are kind of my go-tos. Anything, you know, I don't care about scores, so it don't bother me, but I like old deer. I just kind of, and it's a challenge to me.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, that six, that was a challenge. You get an old deer that's smart, they're fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're fun to outsmart, you know?
You learn a lot.
You learn a lot. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. You learn about when to and why not to, kind of one of those deals.
Right.
But
right.
So I'm going to go hunt out by, I'm going to end up hunting by him for gun season in Minnesota. Then I'm going to come back and I'm going to gun hunt. Well, I'll go and sit with the family.
Okay.
I don't even know if I'll gun hunt much, but
yeah.
I had some good friends that I kind of helped manage their property, and I know I'll probably end up having to go there and whack a couple does, so I'll go take a couple does out during gun season.
Nice.
And then I'll end up going back down to Illinois for the second gun season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll hunt the second gun down in Illinois, and then I got Kansas in December.
Nice.
So
that's the last one,
and that'll be my once I get through December, then ice fishing starts, and then
nice,
then I'm good.
Yeah. Awesome.
Then I'm good.
So I know you're talking like big old eights, and you know you're talking about ages of deer. So like going into that stuff, like what's your telltale for aging deer? Like what's your good baseline?
Chest and ass.
I was just looking at your text that you sent me because I asked you, and you're like chest and butt.
Yeah.
That's it. So I gotta know.
Yep. If you can, you know, you really can't judge by the roan nose, because I've already had deer that didn't have a roan nose at all, and they were 6.5-year-olds, okay? But when you got a stock, when you can look at a deer and they're square, especially if the butt's bigger than the chest, you're like, oh my word. You know, it's a tank.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, now, here's a little deception, though, on that. You know, it's always nice to have somewhat of a history, because I get into this all the time with people about, oh, that deer is only 3.5 years old, and I'll be like, dude, that deer is 6, you know, 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Right.
You know. Yeah. You know, like I shot a 6.5-year-old deer. I'm like, oh, congratulations, that's awesome. You know, they'll send me a picture of it. And it'll be like that 9, it'll be a 3.5-year-old.
Really?
You know, and I'll be like, that ain't that old. But
yeah.
But here's the deal. Don't talk yourself into it.
Mm-hmm.
If you killed it, it's dead. You're happy. Who cares?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, we live in Wisconsin where you need to really think long and hard about what your goals are.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of us don't have 7,000 acres in one block
right.
to hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got 40, 80, 120 if you're lucky.
Right.
If you're lucky. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it ain't the easiest thing to keep all your deer on a 40-acre block.
Nope.
Especially if there's only 10 of its acre of wooded, you know, I mean, and I tell people, you gotta be realistic here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta think outside the box a little bit, but you gotta be realistic.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of the point that we're at too.
You know, I mean, you just like, I'll tell you, you take what the land gives you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
have to.
You have to. Yeah. You have to. I mean, you can't, you know, and I mean, if we all want to shoot big deer, right? Uh-huh. I mean, most people, yeah. right? I mean,
right.
That's your goals. It doesn't always happen.
Uh-huh.
And it's okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's all right. It doesn't, you know, it's just, you know, back to the old thing. Shoot what makes you happy.
Right.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, it's just, and like I said, I run into people all the time that, you know, and it's funny because some people, they watch too many TV shows, or they do too much. They must be laying in bed thinking too much or something. Yeah.
Well, there's so many YouTube videos out there now, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, that's all I do.
Yeah?
I don't even watch TV anymore. It's all hunting shows on YouTube.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I
just love it. I mean, you do learn a lot, too. Especially, like, watching some of the public guys, just listening to some of the stuff they got to say and hints on where to look and where not to look. Because, I mean, we only get to see so much in Wisconsin here.
Oh, sure.
I want to hunt. So you get to watch some of that. Like, you know, it's just more thoughts in the memory bank.
And I mean, and it's funny you bring that up because, you know, when you get to travel the states and hunt different states, you really learn a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing what you can learn. And in Wisconsin, believe it or not, hunts like 5 different states, if you ask me.
Yeah, well,
you know there is. I mean, there is some place like you go up north and it's like Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, northern Wisconsin just like Canada, mm-hmm. and then you can get down in the southwestern part of the state, and it could be parts like Kansas or like Iowa, or you know what I mean. I mean, it's just unbelievable how what they have. You know, it's weird, but it's the truth.
That's cool.
You know, so it's kind of neat, but you get to learn that. Yeah. You know. And it's all the people you meet along the way, too, because, you know, like I said, we're all hunters.
Yeah.
We all have the same camaraderie, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, you get in life, you're going to go out hunting and you're going to learn a lot. You can, like you say, you watch YouTubes.
Mm-hmm.
That works. That's great. I mean,
it hasn't worked yet, but.
Well.
I feel like I learn a lot.
That's all that matters.
Doing it.
If you're learning, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Right. Like, I'm for sure going to Missouri and Minnesota this year, so I'm excited to, you know, get to use some of the knowledge I feel like I've gained.
Are you hunting public?
Yeah.
Good just for public. You.
Yeah. I went to Minnesota last year, but that didn't end up well. Yeah.
Why is that?
I just went at a bad time. And I scouted one day and I brought my uncle with me. And it didn't work out the best.
Okay.
I'm just going to leave it at that. Maybe I'll tell you after.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
But no, I'm excited. You know, I got to scout there, and like even just looking there, it's completely different. Like all the crop fields are top of the mountains or top of the hills, I guess. And it's just like you go there and walk around, it's like, where do I even start?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, but no, I'm excited. It's going to be cool.
And you're hunting Missouri?
Yeah.
What part of Missouri?
Probably the northeast. Thinking. I might do like southeast Minnesota. Just. Stay around.
Good ground.
Yeah. I've heard good things about northeast Missouri, but.
Well, and it's all going to be around hunting pressure.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, it's hard to go and kill deer on public ground that's been trampled.
Yeah.
Which is hard.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Big footprint down there then.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, can it happen? Well, you can get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going archery, right?
Yeah. It's going to take some work, but...
Yeah.
It'll be very hard. It's very, very hard.
Yeah.
But, and that's okay. It's all about the experience. That's and, and killing is just a bonus.
Yeah.
Right?
I just want to go and learn. If it works out, it works out. You know, I'm not totally against, you know, eating pig soup. I just want to go there and learn and see the land and, you know, be able to look at deer and watch deer and figure it out for, you know, future years. So.
Well, and hopefully there's just wherever you go. And the sad thing is it, you just got to hope that it's not being overhunted.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's the thing, too. It's like, and I kind of want to get there earlier in the season rather than, like, right at the rut, you know, when everyone's going to be there kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't know.
I hate rut. I hate it. I hate hunting rut.
I hate it, too, because, well, in our area, ours is kind of like just a travel. It completes a circle, it feels like. So we get some new deer, but then if we have deer that we're watching, usually they're gone.
They're gone, yeah.
But we don't have much acreage at all, so it's like...
The best time to kill a big buck is right off the get, right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. That's how I killed my first one. It was
3 weeks in. Dumb.
I think it was still September when I got him.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So you can go on Saturday and go kill one. Maybe you'll kill Gimpy.
He's going Saturday morning. I'll go Saturday night. He has a wedding.
Yeah.
Who gets married on opening day?
Hmm.
You better sit down and have a union meeting with that individual.
We're going to have to.
Two
individuals.
All I know is the last time we were after a nice buck, and it was consistently kind of showing up, like this one is, I had an event to go to.
Doing to a concert.
And he shot that buck that night.
Yep.
So you're going to repeat?
I feel like I have a really good feeling. I think the cycle's going to repeat.
And that'd be so romantic.
So I'm hoping I get a picture on Saturday night.
Oh, that'd
be fun.
We'll
see what happens. I haven't seen him out there in the morning. Granted, you know, trail cam or, you know, we could see the field from the house pretty much. But I haven't seen him. That night, though. He won't even be on show camera, but you see him over there or over here. It's like...
So it's hard to pattern him.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
I know he's there, though. He doesn't go far, especially with that broken leg, but...
Yeah.
I'm sure he goes a lot farther than we think. Like, there was the buddy that we seen, my buck that I shot the last time, that rode over there. Remember the field that when we were spotlighting?
I'm trying to think how many acres away that is.
It's probably... I don't know, but he had a video. He had a video on Snapchat last night, and I was like, "I think that's him
over there."
But then he started running, and I was like, "Oh, I don't know if he has a broken leg."
He can run like that.
But so yeah, well,
we'll find out.
Yeah,
find out.
Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, and
we'll do this again.
You know, it's a nice place here, and
it's peaceful.
It was awesome, friendship that we made so far. And
I enjoyed it. Thanks for inviting me to the races.
Yeah.
Yep.
Never done that before, so that was actually pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm very happy that you came.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I'll definitely do that again in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind trying the Crandon thing.
Yeah.
It's just, like I said, what our family thing, it's every year. It's the same time, so.
Yeah, there's other weekends too, so we've got to get you to a couple more. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice so you are looking for new machines then? Both of you? Or? Yeah.
That's the plan right now. It'd be nice if we can sell our current ones and then get some new ones and just start fresh. And we got some ideas we want to try and throw at some cars. So if we can get some new ones, it'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if not, then just do what we did again.
Yeah.
Runner.
I mean, we're still competitive with them, so.
Yeah. A couple of
weeks. Must be doing something, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, you gotta let. There's a lot of cars too, for you guys to do as good as you did.
Yeah,
it's
the main thing is like the factory guys that we're competing against. You know, it's just hard.
There's not a whole lot of them, but there's a select number, and I mean they're on it every time.
And there's like that fine line where it's, the two or three, and then it's us.
Yeah.
Every time, but
yeah.
No, we're there. It's just you gotta find a little bit of
get to that neck, that little little edge.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, we could talk for hours and stories and...
Yeah.
But I could tell you're tired. I'm tired.
It's hot today. It's been a long day.
Yeah. All right. So well, I appreciate it.
Come with
another episode soon.
Yeah. We'll be back after this
for
one.
Yeah, whenever. I could do this for days.
Yep.
I mean, there's just, I've been, like I said, I got so many lifelong experiences. And it's been kind of, like I said, I've been blessed. I really have been.
You got some great stories. Oh. And great knowledge. Like, even just what I've gained from you just talking to you for the short time that we have, it's like, everything I've learned from you is...
I mean, I always, and I'm not afraid to share it. You know, I don't care. I don't, if I can help somebody and they're successful, I don't care. I had one year, a couple years ago, I had a guy, he called me. He called me because he was struggling. He didn't know what he was doing, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know this guy from Adam. And he was reluctant to think that I would even help him. And I says, why wouldn't you think I'd help you? Well, because the seat I have isn't from you. I bought it from another guy and another company. And believe it or not, they're not really helping me much. And I said, well, then how in the world did you get a hold of me? You know, he said, well, another one of my friends said to call you because he said you'd help anybody. And I said, well, your friend knows you pretty good. He said, because he knows me. I said, knows me pretty good. So anyways, I went to help them plant it.
That's awesome.
Not even my seed.
Yeah.
And I went over to him and I helped him plant it. I don't diss on other companies. I just told him, I said, this is how it's going to do, verbatim. Mm-hmm. I know the reputation. I said, this is how it's going to do. And I said, I'll explain to you why, you know, and everything. And I did all of that with him. And we planted it. And it came in like I said it was going to.
Really?
And it grew to what I said it was going to. And then it started stalling like I said it was going to. And then he's like, how do you know all this stuff? I said, because
it's my life.
I just know. I know my competitors. I know kind of what they're doing.
Right.
And I says, so next year, I said, let's. And in fact, if I remember right, we planted some of ours. I took some with him, put some like side by side. And he said, and I remember it wasn't even fair, like close.
I believe.
You know, and he said, you know, he said, well, I'm just learning. I said, well, you learned a lot this year. He goes, oh, my gosh, I guess.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's good. And he's still a customer.
Really?
Yeah, he comes every year and he buys piles of seed.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's cool. Customer.
You're right. Yeah. Most of them are. Mm-hmm. Most of them. And I mean, you're going to always, you know, I got a better deal or I found whatever. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I tell people, do I want you to buy our stuff? Yeah, if you don't, I'm not mad at you.
Right.
You got to work around your budget, or you got to work around your convenience, or you got to work around your shipping.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I respect it. I said, shipping has killed us this year.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I believe it.
It killed us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was bad.
Yeah.
And what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, we're not the only ones, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's welcome everywhere. To America.
Right.
Because it's everywhere.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I sit there and say the 100's a new 20.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking up. Oh, I heard something, I think. I guess in like 19. Was it 1960 or 1970? I think it was 60. I guess 12 grand then was like $100,000 now.
Oh, I would believe that.
Yeah.
Oof.
That's ridiculous.
I would. It's just. I just can't even fathom how much stuff is right now.
And it was a podcast about buying world-class deer or whatever. And he offered the guy like 12 grand to buy it. So they were doing like the calculation, so it'd be 100 grand for whatever it was. It was like second or third world record for, I think it was typical from somewhere. It was like Ohio buck or something.
Really?
Back in the day. Yeah. But, yeah. So they did like the calculation. I was like... That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I mean, where does $100 go?
Not far.
Not very far.
A tank of gas and
yeah.
A case of soda or something.
I mean, you go out to eat. If it's anything halfway decent, it's a C note.
Yep. Pretty much.
It just is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know.
I know where you could spend it on 40 bucks each
time. Yeah. Well, and you know, one thing that's kind of cool is, you know, we're just seasonal. So, I mean, you know, and I get it. You know, it ain't like we're, you know, like I said, we're just about ready to shut down for the year. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I still shipped some seed last week yet. So guys,
that was more of your southern states.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Just trying to finish those up probably.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. But it's just, I mean, it's hunting season now.
Yeah.
So now people will be calling and need feed or, you know, or some more mineral, mm-hmm. you know, that'll still be coming, you know, but it's going to die now. Now it's time to start hunting.
Yeah. You do good this year and everything?
This is the first year, as long as I've owned the business, that I have, like, ran out of seed.
Really?
Dang.
A lot of stuff I ran out of.
Wow.
I have never ran out. I've always had leftover for me for next year to plant.
Yeah.
And I ain't gonna.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I couldn't believe
it. That's a good problem
to have,
though.
It is.
That is, yeah.
But great. I have some pretty big consumers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have some pretty big customers that buy a lot.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, I mean,
you told me about some of them. It's
yeah, but yeah. When you sit there and you buy 50 acres plus at a crack,
you know, a lot.
Yeah, that adds up pretty quickly.
Yeah, it does.
You know, but customer's happy with it and he loves it and mm-hmm. comes back every year.
Right.
You know, started out with 1 acre and then from 1 acre went to like 5 and then went to 10, then it was up to 20, then it went to 30, and then now it's over 50.
Wow.
And the guy's killing 200s.
I believe it. That's impressive.
You know, it's, like I said, it's a good problem, right?
Oh, right.
It's a good problem. But
is he pretty well known?
Yep.
I feel like I probably know the name, though.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I don't, I'll tell you later.
I can cut it out.
Yeah.
Well, nice.
We kind of gave a closing, but anyway.
Yeah. Round 2 coming up. There we go.
Obviously appreciate your time.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate everyone for listening if you made it this far.
Still listening. I guess if you had any questions for Doug that we could ask next time, definitely let us know.
It's all good.
Comment. You know, go on the socials, leave a comment. You know, make sure to like, subscribe, follow, do whatever's appropriate. So,
yeah.
Doug, Horny Buckseed, appreciate you.
Thank you very much for
everything.
Thank you for having me. It's actually kind of fun. I enjoy this.
Glad we got to
like the round table. We got to get more guys, though.
Yeah. Well, we're supposed to have one more, our main character, Craig. You met Craig.
Yeah. Yes.
He's a big talker.
Where the heck is he?
Football. Well, football and work.
Oh, whatever.